welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Hawaii Crusaders. I'm your host, Tony Hawley. I'm sitting here with Tom Rackers of the News Tribune, and before Tom and I start to bat things back and forth this week, let's listen to a little bit of Tom's conversation with Hawaii's head coach, Chris Henches.
All right, Chris, just quick look back to last week. You know, your second time against Battle, and I thought it was better than the first time you played him.
Yeah, I thought so, too. I mean, it was a little shaky start. With the mishandled kickoff, the poor field position, three and out, bad punt into the wind, short field, touchdown, and all of a sudden, we're down seven, but I thought when we got the ball back, we established a great drive, got the turnover, another big play, and I thought from that point on, I thought we played, really outside of the first drive, both offensively and defensively. I thought we got dominated the game from the rest of that point forward.
And now you're back in a Class 5 district title game.
Yeah.
And not a surprise, obviously it was a goal.
Yeah, it was a goal for us. Holt or Timberland, both of them are quality opponents. Obviously Holt being the number one seed, a team that we played last year. But we all kind of thought that, because of the way they played in their first game, and we knew Timberland, anytime you beat a team only by one touchdown and you got to turn around and play that team 2 weeks later, Timberland had a shot. And they really played well in that last week's game and dominated, shut them out 21-0, played really, really well. So, it's been for us, this week just kind of preparing for an extremely athletic quarterback. And hopefully we're ready to play our best football. And I think we've been playing really good football as of late.
Did the score surprise you? After they'd given up, I can't remember, was it 35 or 40?
Yeah, well, you had two really athletic quarterbacks with Holt and Timberland. You kind of thought it was going to be a track meet again with high-scoring games. Like the first game was what, 42-35?
Yeah.
A little different script. And I think Timberland showed, some of their defensive ability and, shutting them out.
Looking at Timberland scores this year, obviously they have a very good offense.
Mm-hmm.
What are they? I assume it's a spread.
Yeah, spread, a lot of zone option. They'll do some sprint out. They got a screen game attached to it. That's not a big part of what they do, but capable running backs. But the offense runs to their quarterback. They'll run two by two receivers, a three by one. When they're two by two, most of the time they're bringing one of those slot receivers in jet motion, and then they run triple option football from there. But they have some other things where they do what we call kind of a power read scheme, where it could be a handoff jet sweep if the defensive end doesn't widen. If the defensive end widens, then the quarterback keeping it up underneath. And you see a lot of that when you have athletic quarterbacks, that kind of inside-outside reads game.
So it looks like it might be a tough evening for your defense.
Yeah, your defense has their hands full, and defensive ends are going to be key, making sure they do their job. Obviously, the quarterback is talented. We want him to hand that ball off. Making sure we tackle, because you've seen him so elusive on tape. They've had a lot of big plays this year. They're explosive offense, and they have capable receivers and a good running back that complement that really talented quarterback.
Thanks, Chris.
All right, that was Hawaii's head coach, Chris Henches. And, Tom, it was kind of one of those games where we thought, okay, this might be a shootout, and it looked like in the early going that district semifinal win against Battle kind of started that way. It was just by the end, only one team was shooting, and the other team was out. So much for the shootout.
Yeah, it was 45-14. When they played back in week three, Hawaii's really had 4-8 unanswered in the second half to blow that one open. Hawaii's, I think, played much, much better for four quarters this time than they did that time. Which is kind of what you want to see this time of the year.
Sure.
Kind of got off to a little bit of a slow start, had a little problem with the opening kickoff, and with the wind, a short punt, and Battle was able to score on its first drive, but then Hawaii's kind of took over from there and got out to a comfortable lead by halftime, and really in the second half was kind of on cruise control.
Yeah, I was going to say, was there something that enabled them to be able to finally slow down Battle in particular that they did, or just a matter of just doing what they were supposed to do?
Ricky Dunn, who the Battle running back, who is the C-Mac Offensive Player of the Year. They held him to 44 yards,
right,
which is outstanding against that young man who is as good a back as I think Helias has faced in a long time. And, you know, that was the key. They kind of turned them into almost a one-dimensional team trying to throw the ball.
Okay.
And while Justin Goolsbee is a good quarterback, that was not their forte. That's not what they wanted to do. And
right.
So, you know, Helias kind of used its defense to set up its offense with some short fields and take control.
So while this side of the bracket ends up producing what you think is going to come out of it, the two seed, we're kind of got a little bit of an upset on the other side of it, because, you know, top seeded Holt ends up losing a four seeded Timberland 21-0 in a vast reversal of fortunes from just a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I ought to mention that. Yeah, by the way, Helias is hosting Timberland tonight for the Class 5 District 4 Championship. In case you didn't know, 7 o'clock at Ray Hinchcliffe Stadium. Yeah, Timberland, who, you know, got some state votes in the rankings during the year, but had kind of fallen out. They lost three of their last four regular season games. Came back and beat Holt 21-0. One, you know, it was their first shutout of the year for the Wolves. And two, kind of a bit of a revenge. Holt defeated them 42-35 to wrap up the regular season. So, you know, if you're going to pick one of those games to win, you probably pick the right
absolutely
one.
Absolutely.
Because now you're getting to play for a district title and something that they haven't had for more than 10 years.
Okay. And it works out great for the Crusaders, too, because, like, say, it means a home game. You know,
really? I didn't know.
Well, exactly. Yeah. You mentioned it. I'll re-mention it. But, you know, that's one of those things where, you know, you're thinking, well, she told, you know, might have a road trip finally for the first time in a lengthy while. But they don't.
No, you know, and Helias went up to Holt last year for the district title game, and my, that was one of the coldest nights. That's top five cold nights for watching Helias football.
Okay.
And Holt beat him 34-6. And Helias really, you know, wanted to get a home game. You know, they thought, after watching some tape or video, whatever they do these days, wherever you want to put it, you know, from the first meeting, week 9 between Timberland and Holt, they thought that Timberland had a chance to come back and win, and they did. And
yeah.
So they're not overly surprised that they're playing Timberland.
So what do we think then that they have to be concerned about tonight? I mean, what is it that enabled them to get to this point when a lot of people maybe thought they wouldn't get to this point?
Well, you know, they're 8-3, and their losses were to, you know, Troy, who was a ranked team in Class 6, Francis Howell, who's ranked number 2 in Class 5, and Holt, who I think was either 3 or 4 in the final regular season rankings in Class 5. So they lost to 3 quality teams. But you look right now, Timberland brings in A.J. Raines, who's the leading passer in the St. Louis area. He throws for, it's nearly, I think it's, gosh, it's either 2,400 or 2,600 yards. I mean, he throws it a lot,
okay,
and he's pretty accurate. And in addition to that, he's also their leading rusher. So he's kind of a, you know, he's the dual threat, prototypical dual threat quarterback in a spread offense. And talking to Chris, you know, before we really started the interview, he kind of compared him to Jacob Weaver, you know, Helias' starting quarterback 2020 on the state championship team. He said, you know, he was a dual threat quarterback, and so was Raines. And he said, now, Jake was kind of more of a power runner. He was just going to try to kind of run you over. He said, you know, the Timberland quarterback is kind of elusive and shifty, and you kind of have to try to make sure you bring him down. But he said, in their kind of style, that you know, importance to the offense, they're quite similar.
Well, and I think, you know, this is, to me, I think, is probably the matchup of the game, only from the standpoint of, you know, I'm not so concerned about Helias' ability to score. They've shown that for a while, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But I think if, you know, if you kind of look back through the ledger of games, if you look back just kind of going backwards, you know, we're talking about 14, 13, 13, and then a couple 21s. This is a Helias defense that's not giving up many scores per game. And so I think, you know, I think if it's going to be the sort of thing where Timberland is able to get an upset win again, like they did against Holt, then it's going to be because they're going to be able to score against the Helias defense.
Yeah, you look back, you almost have to go all the way back to week 4 against Cardinal Ritter when they put 40 on Helias.
Right.
You know, in the next week that Rockbridge put 30, Rockbridge had 31, but, you know, that was not a bad defensive effort that night. It was just a bunch of mistakes and things. So, you know, Helias' defense has been very, very good. You know, that's something that they can hang their hat on.
Sure.
And, you know, they've done it against all kinds of styles of offense, mm-hmm, this year. They kind of dial something up. Now, this is going to be different. You know, you kind of look, Chris says this is going to be the best quarterback probably we faced all year.
Okay.
You know, you go back to Rockbridge, you know, quarterback who was really good, but he was kind of more of a drop-back passer and ran when he had to. You know, the dual-threat kid presents its own problems, and the key on the defense just might be the defensive ends. They've got to make sure that they keep containment. Don't let the kid get outside and get around him because, if they're out in coverage, they're maybe 10 to 15 yards of open field.
Right, right. So I guess the question is, and we've talked about this kind of for the last couple of weeks, but I think – not only is it you want to be playing well at this time, which I think they both are, you also want to be healthy at this time. And so that's going to be that'll be a big determinant against if you want to be able to do the things you want to do, you've got to be healthy. And so I guess the one of the first questions is, how is the Halaya, especially on defense, how are they in terms of, do they got all their guys?
They do. They pretty much got everybody back.
Okay.
You know, they got everybody. Everybody who was coming back basically came back last week.
Okay.
So they all have a game under their belts now. You know, there's three guys who were done for the year and have been done for the year for several weeks. You know, those guys were never coming back. But, you know, everybody else has been fighting the concussions or whatever, broken leg. I still don't know how you play that broken leg for 4 weeks. But, or whatever, shoulder injuries. They're all back.
Okay.
And so, they got a game under their belt to kind of get back into game shape because, some of them haven't been doing a whole lot for 2 or 3 weeks. And so they kind of limited their playing time last week to bits and pieces. But now I think they're probably going to be ready to go full bore on both sides of the ball.
Okay. So, like I said, I wanted to get back to the Halaya's offense at some point. And again, I think this is something that's been clicking for a while and continues to click. I mean, on that side of the ledger, you go back and it's 45, 55, 59, 45, 38. I mean, we're talking big scores for a number of weeks in a row. So, if they're able to keep that going, obviously that will bode well for their chances to advance. But what do they have to worry about in terms of if they want to keep that production going? What does maybe Timberland bring to the table that they have to concern themselves with?
The question Chris had was, what style of defense they were going to play, what formationally they were going to do.
Okay.
They've played a lot of 4-2-5 recently, but they've seen them in a 3-3 stack. They've seen him in a 3-4.
Okay.
They've seen him in a 4-3.
Okay.
They've seen him in a 5-front. He said one thing that does is it makes you have to take practice time all week to get ready for those.
Sure.
Now, they did the majority of their time against the 4-2-5. So if that's what they see, they're kind of ready for it. Now, they've seen, as he told me, we played 3 games against 4-3 teams. We played 3 games against 3-4 teams. We played 3 games against 3-3 stack teams. So we've seen them all,
okay.
And we're all, we know what we need to do against them. It'll just be kind of clicking and going, okay, guys, here we go. This is what we're going to do.
Right.
Remember what we did, 6-7 weeks ago. We got to get back to that.
Sure. And I guess that's one of those things that, you always hope that when you're building a schedule, not only does it test your team and give your team opportunities to grow and have success and all this stuff that kind of goes into it, but you do hope that at the end of the day, something like this works out where you go, gosh, wasn't it good that we got to see a variety of styles as opposed to just playing the same sort of team every week, and then when something like this comes up, you're really not ready for it at all.
Yeah, and one thing in the favor of Halaya's offense is, and this is going to sound weird, they don't have that one standout kid.
Okay.
If it was going to be one of those guys, it might have been a Matthew Malmstrom who got hurt early, or a Corbin Fisher who got hurt early in the year and haven't come back. What they've got is like 3 running backs who are basically the same guy.
Okay.
And so a defense can't key on, well, when he's in the game, this is what's going to happen.
Right.
Because they're all the same kid.
Yeah.
And in a similar vein, they've got like 5 receivers who are all the same guy.
Right.
They're all 6 foot, 180, and can catch the ball and have decent speed.
Yeah.
So you don't know which one of them is going to step up and maybe be the key receiver that night, so you've got to be aware of all of them.
Yeah.
Now, Trey Beckson, that tight end, is a little bit of a different animal. At 6'3", 6'4", 220, 225, whatever he is these days, he's a different animal. You have to know where he is, and he's really stepped up the last 3 or 4 weeks. They've gotten the ball to him, and he's been strong. But trying to figure out which one of those guys you really need to cover, everybody on opposing defense has got to kind of look around and go, okay, which one of these guys is it?
Okay. We haven't talked about it much this year. In past years, we kind of have because it's been so good or so notable. But how's the Crusaders special teams heading into, you know, the time of year where you want to be good in all three facets? So how are they in that facet at this point?
Good. You know, I know we talked a little earlier about the opening kickoff last week was a bit of a, you know, he bobbled it and ended up starting the first drive inside the 10. Well, that's the first time really that's happened all year.
Okay.
And, you know, last week you hate to, you know, the wind was just blowing from one end of the field toward the other end. And so the punt game was kind of iffy. But that just happened.
Yeah.
You know, but they've been strong on kickoffs. Logan Hillman has been, you know, inside the five, if not into the end zone. You know, Nick Calvaruso has made 11 field goals this year now, and he's 50-plus extra points. You know, he's a very good weapon once they get the ball, you know, inside the 20, you know, to set up. You know, if a kick is inside 35 or so, he's got a pretty good chance of making it, and that's big for them. And it could be a key tonight. I think that, you know, as close as I think this game might turn out to be, special teams might be it.
Okay. And it's worth noting that while we're going to have a little bit of interesting weather, it's not weather that's going to be blustery like last week, so I don't think that'll affect the kicking game. But I do think that it's worth noting that this is going to be the first game, I think, of the season that actually feels like football weather. You know, it's going to be cold, it's going to be chilly, it's not going to be the sort of anything where you don't, you know, and it's not like where you expect rain to affect a game or expect wind to affect a game. It's going to be cold, and that'll be kind of different for all these nice unseasonably warm temperatures we've had most Friday nights.
Yeah, you know, it's not going to be like last week where they pushed the game up to 5 o'clock and just as the game was getting over is when it first started to rain. They got very lucky there. Or fortunate, or planned it out well.
Right.
Pick.
Yeah.
You know, this week it's going to be, you know, it's just going to be cold. I mean, even if they started at 5 o'clock, it's going to be cold.
Sure.
And, you know, when I was at practice Wednesday, you know, Chris reminded all of the skill position players he didn't want to see long sleeves this week.
Okay.
He wants football on flesh. He said, you haven't worn them all year.
Right.
Don't wear them now.
Okay.
You know, just deal with it.
Right.
And so, you know, they know it's going to be cold, and just be ready for it.
Right. All right, I guess that gets us to the prediction point of the podcast, and which way are you leaning for this one tonight?
I'd say I think it's going to be a close game. Timberland is obviously a quality team. You know, you look at their loss, their losses are just like Colias, their losses are to really good football
sure.
teams. And, you know, this time of the year, in a district final, you expect to see two good teams. Timberland, in my mind, you know, this is the first district title game they've been in for a little while.
Right.
You know, and they're coming off beating Holt for the first time, I think, since 2018. Was that their Super Bowl?
Sure.
And you know, can they get up again, get on a bus, you know, after an hour and 45-minute trip, which they don't take very often looking at their schedule.
Right.
Now, I think you can probably throw that out.
Okay.
Because it's a district championship game, and
sure.
everybody wants to win a district title game.
Right.
And so I would think close. See, I'm going to keep hemming and hawing for a minute. I'm going to, you know, I think Hawaii's going to win a close game. I think it's going to be 31-28 Hawaii's.
All right. That should do it for this week. For Tom Rackers, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune, and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Tom Rackers on Twitter @TJRackers. Thanks for listening.